Welcome. It's so good to see you all here this morning for our third of four Sundays of middle school, high school, and adult education all together, where we're talking about journeys of faith. And we're getting to hear from people from within our congregation and who partner with our congregation. And this morning, we're so excited and honored to welcome Paula Alexson. Thank you so much for being here. She's a friend of Nassau and a member of Westminster Presbyterian Church in Trenton. She has served at MacArthur Theater and recently transitioned to a new job at Homefront as the Community Engagement Events and Administrative Specialist. And we're excited to hear about that journey and so much more of your journey of faith. Thank you so much for sharing with us this morning. And I'd love to open us in prayer, if that's okay. I didn't warn you. It kind of was, and then I remembered I needed to pray. Okay, let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for this space to listen, to explore, and to dream about who you call us to be. Amen.
I know. Thank you. Ooh, thank you. Thank you. Hey, Lynn, since you have the microphone, could I utilize you throughout the... So first and foremost, it's such an honor and a privilege to be here with you all today and to be asked to do so. When Lynn reached out to me to ask if I would participate and share my personal journey of faith, I said yes immediately, right? There was only maybe a couple hours lag just because I was in my work day. So enthusiastic. It was because, one, Lynn was inviting me. Two, I hope I get to this part of my faith journey because I owe Nassau Presbyterian Church, as it holds a place of great significance in my faith journey. Three, oh, I should also let you know, I'm a crier. It's gonna happen. Please feel free to cry with me. I hope I don't make you feel uncomfortable. I'm not uncomfortable. I'm just feeling all the feels. Three, because I had collaborated on similar programming series for a congregation that I was a member of and had belonged to, and it seemed hypocritical for me not to say yes to this beautiful invitation. Four, because I received the invitation to tell my story as both an overt sign of God's presence, God's love, and this was another of many overt God-given confirmations I had received and that I recognize in the midst of a huge life-altering decision. Praise God. Amen. Pastor Karen's in the other room, so let's amen whenever you feel like it. Now, with all of those considerations, I said yes immediately, and then like about 2 weeks ago, fear set in. How will I tell this story? Do I have a story to tell? I know I have a faith. I looked at these fabulous questions, stories of when, how you've experienced God's love. I started thinking about, like, what does God's love feel like? How does my faith inform my work? Does it? Has it? Does my work inform my faith? I'm not sure. And actually, I went to my safe place. And that is sort of my interests. But quick confession, I do not see myself as a particularly spiritual person. Or maybe it's better to say an overtly or outwardly or extroverted spiritual person. I have mostly kept my spiritual cards close to my chest, and I suppose that's partly due to a stance of secular professionalism, or maybe not wanting to be associated with a very specific type of Christian. More about that later. So if I had to ascribe a title to my sharing today, It might be titled Paula's Journey of Faith. You never know where you might, where your faith might lead you. No, really, you never know what God has in store. Instead, I decided to title it Paula's Mini Archive of Faith, or Paula's Mini Faith Archive. My friends, I brought a collection of personal historical items, documents, books, photographic images and portraits, t-shirts, and a post-it note easel pad display of a talk that I used to give at MacArthur to interns, because it has ultimately a way to tell my faith journey, right? So I'll start off, though, with this particular artifact. It says, it's essentially a doctoral diploma. And I don't show this to you to brag, but to let you know that for much of my life, the most important thing in my life was theater and history. I've always loved history ever since I was a wee one. And so I love theater too. So I put those two together eventually in my life, and it actually informed a great deal of my career. Let's see, professional actor, professional playwright, teacher of theater, to work in a professional theater. These were my personal goals, right? And eventually something changed in here. Something changed in here about the same time that I visited NASA for the first time, but we'll get to that. Lynn, do you mind reading that? Just the first few.
Certificate of Baptism, Church of St. Mary, Windsor Pack, Connecticut?
Windsor Locks.
Mm-hmm. Windsor Locks. Mm-hmm. This is to certify that Paula Therese Alexson, mm-hmm. Child of Charles Alexson Jr. and Susan Griffin, born in Hartford, Connecticut, on the 19th of February, 1968, was baptized on the 17th of March, 1968, according to the rite of the Roman Catholic Church.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Perhaps one of the first historical documents in my journey of faith. I was born to Charles and Susan Alexson in 1968 and baptized according to the rite of the Roman Catholic Church. My formative years as a Catholic, we called ourselves Catholics, not Christians per se. My formative years were spent as a congregant of Our Lady of the Lake Church in the rural town of Southwick in western Massachusetts. And I very fondly think of my childhood and my Catholic upbringing, which was very much tied to my Polish and Irish ethnicities. My family, and I, my parents and my two older sisters, Elaine and Denise, I'm the one with the gourds, was very proud of my award-winning, 4-H award-winning gourds. We attended 8 a.m. Mass every Sunday, evening services for days of holy obligation, and Saturday mornings we took a bus to the public middle school for CCD classes for what was essentially akin to Sunday school religious education on Saturdays. I loved CCD. It was my jam, right? Because we were taught by the nuns. Sister Agnes, Sister Maria Agnes, and Sister Maria Joseph were our teachers, Sisters of St. Joseph, an educational order. I have always loved learning and school, so I gobbled up the Saturday opportunity to learn about the history of the church and the catechism and all of the details of the creed and all of the prayers, which we had to learn and perform by rote. Theater kid! I loved performing them by rote. We learned about the liturgy of the church, the sacraments, the commandments. I was a total CCD nerd and the teacher's pet, or the nun's pet in this case. The nascent historian rejoiced at the discovery of hagiography or the history of the lives of the saints. Here is this sweet little book from my childhood. It's called The Saints for Girls. It sort of has a Disney circa 1950 vibe in muted colors. Please feel free to come up and look at it later. In the Catholic Church at confirmation, every teenager got to choose a saint to be their patron or their guardian. And my saint, can you imagine? Who was my patron saint? We had to choose a woman if you were a woman. Joan of Arc was my saint. I love the history of Joan of Arc. I was obsessed with Joan of Arc. And unfortunately, on the day that I was confirmed, it was a Polish priest who was confirming me. And when he looked at the name Joan, he said, Joanne. There is a Saint Joanne. My patron saint is Joan. Now, this little pamphlet, you'll want to come up and see it a little bit later, features on its cover my maternal great aunt Millie, whose name as a Dominican nun was Sister David. She was a super special celebrity to our family, a living role model, a living saint, and much beloved. Interestingly, she was not raised Catholic, but found her calling nonetheless and sort of established a maternal line in the Catholic Church, which my mother was born into. Like all Catholic children, holy orders, becoming a priest or a nun was strongly encouraged. One child out of your family, you must have as many children, and one child will be a nun or a priest, God willing, right? My mother considered holy orders up until the day she got married, frankly. She had a dream the night before to become a nun, but she got married, thank you, God, or else I wouldn't be here. I think it's rather likely that if the Catholic Church had allowed women to be priests, I myself would have been drawn to holy orders, to the theatricality, the embodiment of the ritual, the beauty of the music and singing, the best musical, right? To be able to sing these beautiful hymns. I found myself so filled with joy and purpose in my life as a child in the Catholic Church. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Do we hold that in common?
Yes.
Okay. Faith of our mothers. My mother was and is the spiritual center of my family. She became involved in the Catholic charismatic movement, and we would often go to Wednesday night prayer meetings. There was so much heart and love and joyful spirituality in the families of this charismatic movement, and I joyfully attended those prayer meetings. It was a big part of my life, the joy and the love. The challenge of my family's faith, of my Catholic faith for me eventually, as I grew and developed into adulthood, and into the realization of my identity as a lesbian, is that that was not okay. Homosexuality was a sin, and you may have heard the phrase, hate the sin, not the sinner. I was a late bloomer, so to speak. In high school, while my sisters would talk about boys and be going out on dates along with my friends, I just wasn't interested. Perhaps I didn't allow myself to be interested because maybe deep down I knew. And it wasn't okay. I was a good girl. I was a good Catholic girl. My wife knows this from fact. I was a rule follower. I was so great in the Catholic Church because I was a rule follower. I felt in myself God-given goodness. I lived the gospel. I was taught that gospel. I lived it. It was instilled in me. I am grateful to God. The gospel was instilled in me. And when I was in college and I fell in love with one of my friends, that goodness miraculously did not feel diminished in me. Here's the good news for me. I did not feel God turn from me. I still felt God's presence, God's love in my life. In my heart, it was not tainted. I did not feel tainted. I did not feel diminished as a person. If anything, I felt more joyous, more open to humanity, to the world around me, to the variety of God's own creation. I remember a saying in childhood, God does not make junk. Why would I be gay if God had not created me so? Thank God I had confidence in who I was, in my own God-given goodness. Thank God I had faith in that, because we know that that isn't always felt, and that leads to tragedy. Now, this is not to say that I didn't have the dark nights of the soul, but as I recall them now, they were less about me in conflict with God and more about me worried about what my parents would think, what they would do, what they would say if they found out. So I kept this secret for a couple of years, and I only came out to my mother. Oh, you come here. Who are you? You're so sweet. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. I had a secret stash. You didn't know. I only came out to my mother when my college girlfriend of 3 years broke up with me. Her parents had found out about us and told her that they were going to take her out of school if she didn't end the relationship. When I told my mother, the breakup compounded with the secrecy was what really did me in. I felt so alone and scared. And I didn't know what to do or what to think, so I didn't tell my mother. My mother was shocked. She was in fear for my soul. I was in fear for my life. But with time and God's grace, I processed through my heartbreak. My sexuality has remained a challenge for my mother, who herself remains so very faithful. I love my mother's faith. I hate when it's narrow, but I love how she believes, how she prays. I love the goodness of my mother. It's remained a challenge, but I, in turn, have remained faithful to my mother, to my love for my mother, to forgiveness with my mother, forgiveness with her learning curve, and what I believe to be authoritarian dissonance, cognitive dissonance and beliefs. Nobody's perfect. We are all still becoming with God's help. I have always been a faithful churchgoer. My Catholic Sunday obligation to attend services is a sin in the Catholic Church not to go to church. But that instilled in me a love and need to be in community with believers on Sunday mornings. I'm grateful for the discovery and experience of a variety of Christian denominations that have become homes for me over the years, faith homes. I don't always feel spiritual when I show up on Sunday morning, but I'm faithful in showing up, and I'm always filled by the Spirit. If not by the word of God, then by the community around me. Praise God for the community around us. It's a lending library of faith. We just have to show up. I think it's important to say here that my own personal experience of God has included both feeling led by God and being confirmed and affirmed by God. God led me to the Episcopal Church one Sunday morning. This should actually be here, historically speaking. This is the Book of Common Prayer of the Episcopal Church. You might have cracked it before. There are many beautiful and amazing prayers there, multiple rites for service. I was visiting a friend in Connecticut, she later became my partner, and her mother was for 10 years, and her mother was an Episcopal priest. So to be accepted as the person that I was and to be among a family of faith was so important to me. So this was so important to me. I had this amazing experience in the Episcopal Church. My former partner and I moved to Waterbury, Connecticut, and we were looking for a church, and there was this big, beautiful church in Waterbury, Connecticut, St. John's, and we decided, let's go. We're going to go. And we went. It was a big, beautiful church. And when we turned to pass the peace, there was a woman standing behind us to receive our peace. And she looked like this. She was so excited to shake my hand. And I found out later she'd been praying for us. She had been praying for lesbians or gay men to come to join their church family. And she could not hold back her joy at it coming true. Never hold back. Always, you know, that's why welcoming is so important. That's why language is so important. What an important thing for me. And I spent a good year being a congregant of various Episcopal churches. A life change happened, right? I went to Tufts University. I got my degree. My partner of 10 years and I, unfortunately, went through a crisis with one another, and we broke up. And at almost the same time, I got the call. Let's think of it as the call, not just getting the job, to go to MacArthur Theater, to teach at MacArthur Theater in the education department. But I'll also tell you, it was also a call that brought me to New Jersey to meet my wife, Patrice, who's standing behind us right now. Yay, thank you. We had the very beautiful experience of joining communities of faith that accepted us, including an Episcopal church that accepted us in the area. And we stayed there for quite a while until there was a change in leadership. We had a new priest come in, and the priest, we had been practicing open communion, and the priest decided that we were not going to practice open communion. And that was important to me. It was important that all be invited to God's table, and that the sacrament might actually bring people further and into a deeper relationship of God with God. So Patrice and I decided to leave that church. This was the only time in my life where I didn't go to church for a few weeks. And it was hard to not. And then, lo and behold, what an odd invitation. My friend Adam, who was Jewish and secular, was an artist in residence at Nassau Presbyterian Church. And Adam said, "Hey, I think you should come. I think you'd really like this community. Come on and listen to me speak and take it in." God led me to Nassau Presbyterian Church. How am I doing for time? This is significant. This is significant in my development of my faith and my humanity to come to this church and to hear Dave and Lauren talk about Jesus as a justice worker. I think I never really thought of Jesus beyond Jesus being the Son of God. Jesus is a justice worker. I learned that here. I didn't stay here long, though, and I want to tell you why. Because Nassau, God through Nassau, led Patrice and me to Westminster. But it's only through the person of this person. Does anyone know who this person is? Michael Brown. I was working in education and engagement at MacArthur when Michael Brown was murdered and when the trial verdict came in. I was working on some programming that was about apartheid. And we were looking at the life of Nelson Mandela in relation to this place as Wibonzi was dead, and this happened. And we started exploring apartheid law in relation to Jim Crow laws, in relation to the outpouring of anger and energy and poetry and music at the death of Michael Brown. And I suddenly realized that I was doing justice work in my secular professional job as a theater person, that I had that opportunity. Nassau was partnering, of course, for years with Westminster, and the invitation came to go to Westminster and Trenton. We lived in Hamilton at the time, I think, to attend a conversation about race. And at that conversation, Patrice and I experienced Black men talking about their experience as Black men in America. Patty, I think you were there, you remember. It was a gut punch. I feel sad that it took me that long to be awakened. But thank God for this experience to be awoken and to have my faith now have a greater purpose in my life in a way that it hadn't. I sort of kept them separate, right? In the same way that we sort of follow our career path. Again, this is... I used to give this sort of workshop to interns at McCarter about their career path, and I would cross out career to show them that it's really your life path. And I realized in creating this, thank you so much, Len, that this is also part, that faith is not separable for me. I've been led by God and confirmed by God here and then at Westminster. So we've been going to Westminster for a while now. How many years, Patrice? 5 years, 6 years, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years? Yeah, right? Oh my gosh, time flies. I know not only that Jesus is a justice worker, I see it. I see Jesus as a justice worker at Westminster in action. Faith in action is my great discovery of the Presbyterian Church. I'm so grateful. Thank you, Presbyterians. I don't even know your history. I haven't had time to look into it. But can I tell you, I don't ever remember in my youth going out into the world to be amongst the world. I had a very exclusionary existence in my faith. It's designed that way, and I'm hoping, praying that it will still, that it will open up. My mom called me, or my mom told me that the Pope is accepting the LGBT community now, which is a beautiful thing, and I love that she got to tell me that. She was very proud to tell me that. I've been trying to apply as much as possible my faith, which is my justice work, to the work that I do in the world, in the secular world. Something amazing and something terrible happened with the death of this man, Mr. Floyd, the murder, because it started to alter my own field, my own profession. We See You, White American Theater, called White American Theater on the carpet for so many justice issues. Yeah, what about diversity, but inclusion and equity? And not just talking the talk, but walking the walk. Doing justice work, even if you don't call it that. I went to this fabulous conference where it was about community engagement, and the speaker first took us through what does community mean, right? Communities are often very exclusive. What does community mean? And she said to us, and this was such a clarion call for me, she said, if engagement doesn't mean justice, then why are you doing it? And I felt with the death of George Floyd and the amazing racial reckoning that happened that I was going to really do justice work where I was for 17 years. I think the intentions are good, but I wasn't able to do the work I wanted to do. And it started to make me feel ill and sick. I don't blame the institution. They're trying to survive. It's been hard for theater. But that sickness was God telling me, you gotta move. It's time to go. It's time to do justice work. Follow your faith. That's scary when you're 55 and a woman. I have so much privilege, but quitting a job for 17 years as a 55-year-old woman is scary. Especially, and I'm so grateful to my wife. My wife said, I don't care if you don't have a job to go to. You need to leave. Because she could see me diminished. Well, I applied to a series of jobs, including a job at Homefront, and I have been called to Homefront. What a relief. I'm still scared. But this is part of my faith journey. That's where faith and work, and then work and faith. I've got them all jumbled up. But now I am working my faith every day. What a gift from God. And I know it was up for grabs. I applied to other jobs. I was like, oh, got an interview here to make three times as much money. Got an interview here. But do you remember what the gospel's been for the last 3 months? Feed my sheep. I'm so glad I go to church. Feed my sheep, Paula. Feed my sheep Sunday after Sunday. It's what I meant to do. My personal goals went from professional goals to personal goals to goals of service and justice. When I went into my interview at Homefront, I actually had taken a picture of this lecture because I knew they were going to say, why does a theater history PhD want to suddenly come and work for Homefront? And I sat there and I thought, is this going to be a corporate interview or is this going to be something else? And when the person interviewing me said, where should we start? I said, can I show you a visual aid? I did pray a lot before I went in to this. In my truck, I prayed, oh God, help me do the right thing, all of the prayers. And she got it. She got me because she understood my journey. She may have seen it not as a journey of faith, but we know it's a journey of faith. Thank you for the opportunity to reflect on it. I had felt it. I had felt confirmed by the gospel. Amen. Lolly says it's over. Now I'll take some questions. I love you. That's good enough for me. I hope that. Am I on time? I am. Oh, good. Yeah, thank you, God.
Yeah, we have a few minutes for questions.
Please also feel free to come in and look at the archive.
Paula, thank you so much for sharing your story of faith. One of the ways I know you is through seeing you at Pride events in Princeton. And something that's so important to me is seeing the way you bring joy and warmth and welcome to everybody, especially people who aren't quite sure if this is the right place for them, or you know, should they be here? Maybe they're going through something. And my question is, when you're preparing to be that front of the house, the welcomer, the thing. For me, I'm totally wrung out after something like that. I'm just exhausted. What does it look like for you? Do you prepare in some way or ready yourself? And how do you take care of yourself afterward when you've been that presence of of welcome and care and love to people you may not even have met before.
Thank you for reflecting that back to me. I really appreciate it. I'm an introvert. I know no one believes that ever when I tell them that I'm an introvert, but I am officially an introvert. I think I do prepare. I am a preparer. I'm also an INFJ for any of you Myers-Briggs folks. Solid INFJ. So I do prepare my thoughts. I also know what it's like to walk into spaces, including religious spaces, and not know if I will be accepted. And so I very deeply want everyone to feel included. That's why it's so important. I haven't looked at the cover of NASA's program lately, but it's so important to have welcoming and affirming and includes the word, you know, the code words to let queer people know that it's that they're okay. And I try to do the same when I prepare, when I do those pride events, to include everyone. It's why it's not just LGBTQ+. It's IA2S. You know, it's all, so that even if not everyone knows what the letter means, the people who own that letter, who identify with that letter, know that this is for them too. I don't think we can be too inclusive. So do I, oh my gosh, when I go home, I don't know if you know, but we pack that all up, you know, and we bring things to the library, we bring things to MacArthur. When I go home, I'm like, woo! And then Patrice, what happens? I collapse. It's so much energy. But I have to give that energy because people need that. So thank you. I'm usually the one holding the microphone saying, yes, your question. It's so strange.
Thank you, Lynn. Paula, thank you very much. I'm a crier also.
I love you.
Even in my preaching, I cry sometimes. So, but my question is, from your journey, from your professional theatrical and a professor and a PhD, in current world, like I'm from a Muslim context, coming from Pakistani context, but the theater, music, art, movies, they are such a powerful tool to express or to convey for justice. And, you know, in a way, in a creative mode where you cannot express it, you know, explicitly.
Right.
So my question is, rather than like, why you switch, or what was the compelling behind that? Instead, you have already a powerful tool of theatrical art to do what you are doing now. So how you see that shift and abandoning, I'm not saying abandoning, but but putting it behind.
No,
so
thank
that's
you.
The question.
Right. I so as someone who was in middle management, well, I guess there are a couple of answers. I could have gone to another theatrical institution. I could have applied to teach theater, I suppose, although oftentimes when you're in academic theater, you need not only your PhD, but you need a body of directorial work to land the job teaching theater history, because they want practitioner, not just theoretical, but practitioners, makers of theater. In this case, sort of the culmination of my experience was that I, because of the needs of the theater where I was working, there was less and less interest in me as a teacher and as an artist, and more interested in me as a community engager and as a marketer. I was shifted into the marketing department, and that's not me. That theater needed me to be someone else in the current moment. And so I knew I needed to go, and the call was to Homefront. The call might later be somewhere else as well. I leave myself open to that, but I really wanted to be present in the moment about where my heart and I feel God was taking me. And it wasn't into the theater now. Theater is very challenged right now. And I needed to leave, I think. But I agree with you wholeheartedly about the power of telling stories, immediate, live, humans in the room with one another to tell stories. And I believe wholeheartedly in MacArthur's mission to tell multicultural stories, to tell all stories, and that's important. And they will continue to do that for sure. But I needed to do more than that, and that's why I've been drawn away or led away. Thank you for your question. I hope that makes sense.
Other questions?
Pam,
she's going to get you. We want to do that just for anyone that has a hearing impairment. Thank you, Len.
So thank you, Paula.
You are. You're okay. On.
Okay. Could you tell us a little more about how you see your the challenges of Homefront and how you feel your aspirational role?
Yeah, this is so new to me. I'm so glad they took me. I want to tell a little bit of backstory on that. About 5 or 6 months before all of this change occurred, they had been a community partner of MacArthur's for a long time, and I had made a great friendship with the community engagement coordinator, Shazia Buskin. And she invited me for a tour. And so I went and I toured it. Have any of you toured Homefront before? Raise your hands. Oh my gosh, let's go on a church tour of Homefront. They have recently renovated and are able to sort of like house more of their programming. They have 36 programs to serve people experiencing homelessness and people experiencing poverty. And when I took the tour, I was overwhelmed by, first of all, the beauty of the building, the beauty of the people that I met. Everybody was very engaging and welcoming. Not that they wouldn't be, but I was just on a tour. We give tours all the time at Homefront, but people were very engaging. I went back to MacArthur and I told one of my colleagues, you got to come on a tour of Homefront. So we later went on a tour of Homefront. And as we were walking around, she actually was going to be a nun when she was younger, and instead was a diversity, equity, inclusion person at MacArthur through the lens of dramaturgy and making theater and all of that. And as we were leaving, she's like, we should work here because we're both justice people. And so I tell you that because that's what we said when we left. That's what I felt when I left. So to be there now is almost like an out-of-body experience. To be in that space and to know that I work in that space, I have so much to learn. Moving from the arts and culture sector to the social services and human services sector I have so much to learn, and I'm someone that needs to learn. That needs sort of to know the history, to know the language, you know, everything that's rolled up sort of in here, how it works. So I actually asked not to apply for a management position. I applied for an administrative position just to do that. So my answer is I'm not sure yet, but I do know that I am in the service of the organization whose mission is justice. And that, for me, is everything right now. Everything. I also engage with community. So, thanks, Pam. I appreciate that.
Thank you so much for all your questions. And I know there are more. And so I hope you consider this as a pause in the conversation and that you continue it. You continue with Paula afterwards and you look at the artifacts. You also continue it among yourselves as you consider how important welcome is and how we can welcome everyone at our congregation and our communities, and also where God is calling you and how that changes over seasons in our life.
Amen.
So thank you so much,
Paula.
Thank
you. Thank you. Way to bring it around.